The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. And joining me today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet. Joining me shortly will be Janet. you know, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about infections, and there's a real question mark. and the question is, are infections involved in more of our illnesses than previously thought? In other words, you know, things that I've checked on, like high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, seems to be a link to infections. And in fact, more and more cancers are being discovered to have a link with infections. So when I saw this a report, it was kind of interesting. The headline here is, a woman cures cancer by drinking 5 pounds of raw carrot juice daily. Now, if you are familiar with the Gerson therapy, this is one of the a part of it, you know, for treating cancer. But here specifically is what happened with this woman. She was diagnosed with colon cancer, so she had surgery. But she declined chemotherapy. And then it was discovered the cancer had spread to her lungs. And the doctors said her life expectancy wouldn't be any more than 2 or 3 years. And chemotherapy was recommended again. And she declined it again. And this person had read everything she could on the internet about alternatives to chemotherapy and radiation. And she had an advantage, I guess. Her husband had recently, or several years earlier, had died from cancer, from lung cancer. So she was familiar with a lot of the alternative therapies that didn't work for her husband. But she discovered a story about Ralph Cole, who said that he killed some small cancer cells in his neck by drinking 5 pounds of juice carrots every day. And she remembered that. And she felt he was sincere because he wasn't selling anything. He was just saying, you know, the 5 pounds of raw carrot juice. So she began drinking 5 pounds of raw carrot juice in November of 2012. And then 10 days after that, she was told the tumors in her lungs were growing rapidly. But she continued to decline chemotherapy and kept drinking her carrot juice. This was in November she started. In January, a CT scan showed that the cancer in her lungs had stopped growing and other tumors in her body were shrinking, and she had fewer swollen lymph nodes. After just 8 weeks of carrot juice, she appeared to be heading into remission. Interestingly, 8 weeks was also the amount of time it took Cole, who had written about how he had gotten rid of his neck cancer. So things continued to look up, and another CT scan done in March showed that her cancer had not grown and that her tumors continued to shrink. And by August, she was told her cancer was gone and her lymph nodes had returned to normal. So I know what mainstream medicine would say. This is anecdotal. It doesn't prove anything, if they would even address it at all. But what I came across in this article was something I hadn't heard about. And it was a compound, I think we're familiar with carrots and beta carotene. But there was another ingredient in carrots that I hadn't heard about. It's called falcarinol. And it's felt that the benefit in treating her cancer was due to this component of carrots. And of course, and here's the problem too. And this is interesting, and it's important for everybody to know this. That patient's doctor said to her that she couldn't recommend anything besides chemotherapy due to a lack of research into alternative options. And in addition to that, medical doctors must rigidly conform to recommending chemotherapy or radiation or nothing else, lest they fly in the face of proven published research and cause a patient's injury or death with unorthodox advice, which could get them a big medical negligence lawsuit. So you can bring up carrots or cabbage or curcumin with your doctor, but even if they're interested, they're not free to recommend these substances to you. So, falcarinol, it was a substance I hadn't heard before, but there had been research done on this, and it's shown that falcarinol, which is found naturally in carrots, can destroy precancerous cells found in tumors. In the study, which was published in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, this phytonutrient was found to reduce the risk of cancer by one-third. And the doctor who led the study suggests that people eat at least one carrot each day along with other fruits and vegetables for maximum health. Now, what does actually juicing carrots do? It increases the assimilation of the cancer-fighting compound falcarinol. It is also believed to increase the availability of the carotenoids, which provide anti-aging and heart health benefits, by as much as 600%. And of course, you'll want to use organic carrots. Now, here was the interesting thing about falcarinol. When I looked up, what falcarinol is, and I'm going to just check with that again right now. It is found naturally in carrots, and it's a natural fungicide. So that was the interesting thing. So you have a natural substance in the carrots, and it's also found in red ginseng, and it protects the roots of the carrot from fungal diseases. Now, I said that's very interesting, that it's an antifungal, because you may have or may not have heard of Dr. Simone Sini, because he wrote a book, and he's got documented treatments of cancer patients with an antifungal treatment, and the name of his book was Cancer is a Fungus. So it's kind of interesting that here you have an antifungal found in carrots that seems to be effective, but again, it has to be taken in large enough dosages, I suppose. So what's the problem with healthcare then, that we can't look outside surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation for ways to address cancer? And perhaps even more importantly, ways to prevent it. And with the fact that carrots apparently cured cancer in this case, and the person who wrote about it suggests that, you know, maybe there is a fungus connection with cancer. So I was thinking about that. And here's the problem with healthcare. Everything revolves around the chief complaint by the patient. So the office visit starts off with what the patient is complaining about. And then The doctor goes from there, and he figures out what symptoms are associated with that complaint and determines what symptomatic therapy should be used, because drugs only treat symptoms. They never address the underlying cause. And I say that's the problem with healthcare, is that we never go beyond the symptomatic treatment of a complaint by looking for the underlying cause. Perhaps if we appreciated that there was a cause for that symptom that could be addressed, we would take a whole different approach, which would then mean you wouldn't need all those drugs that are being prescribed, which is another problem that makes you think, well, healthcare is being controlled by the drug industry, which it probably is. So this made me think we had been talking about how infections are associated with so many illnesses, and the connections aren't always appreciated. We mentioned a lot about Lyme disease because almost any symptom someone comes in complaining of could be attributable to Lyme disease, so that then the connection is, or the question is, could that person have contracted Lyme disease somewhere? Did they travel to an area where there was Lyme disease? Or have they been exposed to anybody with Lyme disease? Very difficult. And there's a greater difficulty because the tests for Lyme disease, in some reports, state that they're inaccurate in 90% of the cases. So you have a real issue with having to, how to diagnose some of these conditions. So then the question comes up, should you treat subclinical infections? Now, what does that mean, subclinical? In other words, you're a carrier. Remember, I'm not sure if she was a real person or not, Typhoid Mary. She was a carrier of typhoid. She didn't get sick, but she spread it around to a lot of people. So the question is it appropriate to treat subclinical infections? And I think there's another area that's not being addressed because we don't look for the underlying cause of the problem. Remember, subclinical, another word for that is asymptomatic. So the patient could be sick and have no symptoms, so we wouldn't even look for the infection. And that music means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Why should I do blood testing? I feel fine. Advanced medical testing provides information in advance of symptoms developing. Get the health information you need to stay healthy. Get the information you need to minimize the need for medical treatment. When you know where to focus your efforts, the results can be rewarding. Get healthy, stay healthy, with the information you need from Advanced Medical Testing Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
How do you know what testing you should get at Advanced Medical Testing Centers? Advanced Medical Testing Centers offers testing packages at reduced rates so you can test for most common health challenges, hormone imbalances, immune issues, heart problems, blood sugar imbalances, and many others are available at AMT Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
Listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining us shortly, I guess, will be Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. So she promised me So we were talking about subclinical infections. That means asymptomatic infections. So, and again, this highlights the problem with healthcare, because with healthcare, you have to be symptomatic before they address the problem. In most cases, there are exceptions to that, and those exceptions are when they have a drug. So, well, what are some of the asymptomatic conditions that that are addressed by physicians? Well, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar. You could have problems with absolutely no symptoms at all. But when it comes to infections, they don't look for that. And remember, I mentioned you can have high blood pressure as a result of an infection, so that should be part of the evaluation of those patients. So let's see what they say about subclinical infections. Basically, it's asymptomatic. In other words, the patient doesn't know it. And here's the other problem. You do blood work, it's not going to show up on any blood tests either, unless you look specifically for the infection by for antibodies. The patient who's infected but has no symptoms is an asymptomatic carrier of that microbe. Now, a microbe is a general term. It could be a bacteria, it could be a virus, it could be a fungus, a parasite. And it has the potential to cause illness. And here's, see, this is the dilemma too. It doesn't cause illness in everybody. So many of these infectious agents are being spread silently from the carrier to other people because they don't know they have it. And this occurs in both humans and animals. So an example of an asymptomatic infection is a mild common cold that is not noticed by the infected individual. Since subclinical infections often occur without eventual overt signs, in other words, you've got this asymptomatic infection and it may never become symptomatic, you can only identify its presence if you do the proper testing, which is not routinely done because you don't have any symptoms. In fact, you wouldn't even think of going to the doctor. Now, some infections, they talk about the incubation period where you're exposed to it. It could take several days or a week or sometimes longer for it to eventually show up. Subclinical infections in this category, some of that are transmitted sexually, like AIDS or genital warts. And then you have those people that are exposed to it but never develop symptomatic illness. And there are a lot of people like that. So that's why, you know, I think, if, you know, knowing how many illnesses are associated with the subclinical illnesses. Now, and so that sounds like a contradiction. If I said they're subclinical, how could you have an illness? They don't connect the dots. They don't appreciate the fact that high blood pressure, for example, could be from an infection, or that coronary artery disease could be from an infection, or that asthma could be from an infection. And nobody really knows what how common this is. But here are some of the types of illnesses that could be carried by people who are totally asymptomatic and spread it to other people. So there's pertussis, whooping cough. You mentioned chlamydia pneumonia, which is different than the chlamydia, that's the sexually transmitted disease. You could have Clostridium, which causes diarrhea. You could be asymptomatic. The dengue virus, and these days also, you could talk about Zika. You could have certain parasites like amoeba that might be causing the problem. So, oh, here's a good one, Epstein-Barr virus. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later because Epstein-Barr and cytomegalovirus, another one that can cause asymptomatic infections. It can also obviously lead to symptomatic infections. You can be asymptomatic with measles. You can be asymptomatic with gonorrhea. And we know, for example, a lot of sexually transmitted diseases obviously are asymptomatic. One of the participants really doesn't know they have the problem. And believe it or not, polio can be asymptomatic in people. So there are a whole lot of diseases. So the question comes up, if you don't look for it, you don't find it, right? So if you went to a doctor's office and he didn't take your blood pressure, he'd never find out that you had high blood pressure. So the same thing goes for infections. If you don't check for it, you never know. But then the other problem comes up with healthcare is that the treatment shouldn't be more dangerous than the disease. So how do you justify treating an asymptomatic infection? Because clearly the side effects of the treatment that mainstream medicine would recommend has lots of side effects. And those treatments for, at least for bacterial infections, are antibiotics. But a lot of these infections are viruses, and they don't have very effective antiviral treatments. I just want to talk about, we mentioned Epstein-Barr a little bit ago. Now, you've heard about that. Originally, when it was discovered, it had another name too, mononucleosis, or it was known to cause chronic fatigue a little bit later on. And I didn't realize how they categorized Epstein-Barr. It's in the herpes virus family. It's herpes virus number 4. And it's one of the most common human viruses. And they say that a very high percentage of people are infected with Epstein-Barr, and they don't know it because they never became symptomatic with it. So this is true of a lot of viruses, but these viruses can be associated with other illnesses that are never appreciated. So here are some of the illnesses that might be associated with infectious mononucleosis or the Epstein-Barr virus. You can have meningitis from it, encephalitis, Guillain-Barré, cerebellar sleep disorder, psychosis, it's going to affect the nervous system. You can have hematological problems, a low white count. You can get pneumonia, lung disease, pancreatitis, myocarditis. Here's an interesting thing, too. Now, I've seen over the years patients who have repeated episodes of pancreatitis. They don't drink. And when they go to the hospital with the problem and presents with severe abdominal pain, they're treated symptomatically. You know, they may be given some pain medicine once they know it's pancreatitis. And not given any food, just IV fluids until the person gets over it. But they're not being checked for any infectious disease associated with it. You could also have myocarditis, inflammation of the heart. So it's, I think it's an area that's being ignored by mainstream medicine because they're pretty much content to go on the way they do, treating symptoms. So waiting for people to get sick, treating the symptoms of the illness, and then hopefully the patient gets better. But in some cases, the patient doesn't. So what if cancer really is an infectious disease? Oh, and by the way, there was a report out. Let me see if I can find this one. It was interesting. There was a report out today that showed that, here it is. The headline is, scientists discover transmissible cancers spreading among shellfish. Now, should we be worried about that? In other words, they're saying you can, one shellfish can get cancer and spread it to others. So first of all, what does that mean? That means the likelihood is there's an infectious component to it. And here's what they say, though. Although cancer can spread to distant parts of a body, it is often a deadly process known as metastasis. It generally stays within the individual in which it originated. Recently, scientists discovered that cancer cells can sometimes escape an organism and spread to others. These cells are clones that are nearly identical to the originals. And so this is a whole new way of thinking about things. They said transmissible cancers were seen in only two mammal species, dogs and the Tasmanian devils, which suggests that they might be rare in nature. However, in 2015, researchers discovered transmissible cancers in soft shell clams, suggesting that such infections might be more widespread than previously thought. So, and if it's transmissible, maybe there is an infectious component. Now, should humans be worried about it? Well, first of all, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is, should people be afraid of eating shellfish or going in the ocean if they could, if there are cancers there that could be a problem for humans? And of course, they say that that's highly unlikely. It's highly unlikely for a cancer cell to become a free living infectious agent. But they haven't proven it one way or the other. And I think this is just an area that needs to be looked at even more. And because we've been talking about infectious diseases, and we see all these infectious diseases. Remember I mentioned there are about over 200 infectious diseases that infect humans. And they infect them in other ways than you would expect. In other words, you know, we think of an infection as you have a cold or a urinary tract infection. Now, here's some music, which means it's time for us to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back with Janet right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment, 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991.
listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Now, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to what we were talking about.
So, unfortunately, I did not. I was very busy with my weight loss contest, weighing people in and working on their weight loss issues.
How are they doing?
Well, this is a hard weigh-in day after a three-day celebratory weekend. So most of the people were able just to hold steady, and if they lost weight, it was maybe a quarter to a half pound. So I think that that's a very positive way to diet, that over a holiday weekend you were able to maintain. I think that's great.
The way is every week?
It's every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. Okay.
Sometimes, you know, to go that long in between weigh-ins is difficult.
Probably should have skipped this week.
We should have organized the schedule a little differently. The other problem that people are having is they're going away on vacation. And again, the people coming back from vacation, they're holding steady. That's great. I think, you know, to go away on vacation for a week or 2 weeks and not regain lost weight, I think that's a success.
I know what I want to ask you. I started off the program talking about a woman who cured her own cancer by drinking 5 pounds of raw carrot juice daily. No, I don't think it was 5 pounds of the juice. I think it was you took 5 pounds of carrots and
right.
You juiced them
right
on a daily basis. But there was a substance in the carrot juice that I had never heard of before. I was just wondering if you had heard of it, falcarinol.
No, I had not prior to reading that article about what she had done.
So yeah. you'd seen the article.
It's very, very interesting. I know of people who have reversed a serious diagnosis with wheatgrass and with carrot juice. So, I can just see people rolling their eyes. Oh, that's made up, or what else did she do, or things like that. But I have, over the many years that I've been doing this, yes, indeed, people are able to reverse diagnoses like that with carrot juice, and I've seen it with wheatgrass.
Well, here's what I thought of when I read that. They said falcarinol is naturally found in carrots. It's a natural antifungal that prevents root rot. In other words, it protects the roots of the carrot.
Right.
So that reminded me of the book that Dr. Simone Sini wrote entitled Cancer is a Fungus.
Wow.
You remember that, right?
I have heard that, yes, cancer is a fungus, but I was not necessarily aware of that book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's the book he wrote. And, of course, his approach to treating the fungus is by alkalinizing the body using bicarbonate, not just orally, but intravenously as well, and sometimes injecting it around the tumor. But it was interesting that here people were drinking carrot juice that contains a natural antifungal and seeing positive results.
And keeping in mind that coconut oil also has a substance in it, lauric acid, and that lauric acid is an antifungal. So there are so many different choices in the natural realm that are antifungal, and that's what I tell people on a pretty regular basis about bicarbonate of soda and the importance of alkalizing, and lemon juice and the importance of alkalizing. And it's interesting because some of the very forward-thinking oncologists who are staying up to speed on the latest research information, they are utilizing that approach with bicarbonate of soda, certainly injectable, in, or rather, I don't mean that, intravenous as well as orally.
So now I'm thinking, could the overuse of antibiotics, which almost by definition promotes the growth of fungus in the body, increase the risk of cancer?
A very important point. And so you talk all the time, Dr. Slavin, you say, how do you get antibiotics without a prescription? And the way you do that is to consume commercially raised livestock, because their diets are full of antibiotics. And so important for people to understand that they are being exposed to very strong antibiotics commonly in their diets if they're protein, animal protein sources are commercially raised livestock. So they don't necessarily have to be attempting to treat an infection with antibiotics. It's just eating commercial animal source protein.
Well, here's a report that had come out 6 years ago, and I wonder if anybody's heard about it. And the title is Antibiotic Use Linked to Higher Breast Cancer Risk. And it goes on to say, after reviewing a number of published studies, researchers from the University of Athens in Greece concluded that antibiotic use appears to be linked to a slightly higher risk of breast cancer. And so it just goes to point out, don't use these drugs inappropriately, or don't overuse them, because there are consequences.
And the consequences are very easy to understand. When you are using antibiotics, you are dramatically changing the makeup of your microbiome. And part of the function of that microbiome is to process excess estrogen out of the body. There are a variety of different naturally present probiotic microorganisms that specifically target estrogen and don't have the estrogen, don't allow the estrogen to remain in your gut for an extended period of time. If that estrogen is not neutralized, so to speak, by the probiotics, then it is reabsorbed into your bloodstream. So you have another occasion of estrogen dominance. And we absolutely know that the estrogen dominance is part of creating vulnerability to developing breast cancer.
And Jana, here's another report that says antibiotics may also increase the risk of colon cancer. And that follows up with what you were saying
about
disrupting the microbiome.
So the microbiome being disrupted and the potential for vitamin D utilization to be disrupted. And we understand very much there is a connection with the presence of vitamin D supported in an optimized level of about 80 in your blood work. That is a reduction of risk of developing breast cancer. The vitamin D is also a very important part of calcium metabolism, and you have to have proper calcium metabolism in order for your colon health to be properly supported. Vitamin D and calcium, that whole metabolic picture is crucially important to supporting that health in your colon. And indeed, overall, your whole body needs optimized vitamin D levels.
And you make a good point. We should consider doing everything that we can to strengthen our immune system so it can deal in a positive fashion with all these infections we're exposed to. Now, they said two of the common ones, and here's another interesting thing. You've heard of Epstein-Barr, right?
Sure.
Did you know it was part of the herpes virus family?
I didn't know exactly what the connection was, but I did know that there was some sort of connection. So also, explain it to us, Dr.
Yeah, well, Schreiber. Well, no, it's just, you know, and cytomegalovirus, also
right.
Part of the herpes virus family. There are eight herpes viruses, and so you have one and two that we're all familiar with, and then you have the cytomegalovirus and Epstein-Barr. The point is they can all cause serious infections, from heart disease to asthma to cancer. And the whole question I brought up today is, first of all, the problem with mainstream medicine is everything is based on the patient's complaint. So if they don't complain of anything, you're never going to discover that they have asymptomatic infections in their body that they could easily transmit to other people. And if their immune system was ever challenged to the point where these subclinical infections became symptomatic, they would have serious illness to deal with. And so the question is, should asymptomatic infections be treated? Well, don't want to treat them with...
If they are asymptomatic, they may be asymptomatic until there is one more virus that breaks that asymptomatic cycle. It just so overwhelms the body's ability to deal with an invading microorganism, and then they no longer are asymptomatic. The other part of it is asymptomatic. Oh, well, you don't have a cold, you don't have a sore throat, you don't have a headache, you don't have an allergy, itchy skin or hives, something like that, but you have arthritis. Oh, maybe you have indigestion. So we're talking about those specific symptoms, and we're treating those symptoms, but you're not understanding that the underlying contributing factor to that is an infectious agent.
So the question is, those asymptomatic illnesses or infections could lead to heart disease, to cancer, to diabetes. So it puts a whole new face on subclinical infections. And it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
When you support your probiotic status with Janabiotic, you're on the way to overall good health. Your brain benefits with Janabiotic. Your immune system benefits with Janabiotic. Your digestion benefits with Janabiotic. Who doesn't need that kind of broad support for their health and well-being? Enhance your health with Janabiotic. Available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Delicious, fragrant, moisturizing. What is it? Janabalm. The best taste from all organic ingredients to smooth your lips. The best fragrance from all organic ingredients to soothe a bite from a mosquito or no-see-um. Heal your chapped lips. Stop the itch from an insect bite. Just a dab of Janabalm on your lips or on a rash and get relief. Janabalm's great for lips, rash, or insect bite. Find out more at Janazon.com.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We've been talking about subclinical or asymptomatic infections and whether or not they should be treated. And the reason they're not routinely treated, because as a rule, you don't want the treatment to be more dangerous than the disease. And if the disease is asymptomatic, it's difficult to justify the use of antibiotics. But what if you had a treatment that wouldn't cause any serious side effects, only positive effects? And we're doing a seminar. It's coming up on, what did we say, the 16th of July, Janet? So July 16th, which is a Saturday, we're doing a seminar. And so I just want to suggest what we'll be talking about is a treatment that has been helping a lot of people with all different types of symptoms. And one of those is multiple sclerosis. So what should one think if they treat someone with multiple sclerosis with a treatment directed at infectious disease and the patients start to see improvement? So basically, multiple sclerosis is presents with muscle weakness, fatigue, vision problems, and then problems with coordination and walking. And then you treat somebody, which we're going to discuss at this seminar on July 16th, and they notice improvements almost right away. And if that treatment is really directed at infections, you have to wonder, could MS be an infection? Now, if you were to Google that, researchers are considering the possibility that viruses and bacteria may cause multiple sclerosis. Viruses are known to cause inflammation and a breakdown of myelin. That's why they call it a demyelinating disease. So therefore, it's possible that a virus could trigger MS. And here's what they're looking at. They're looking at the measles virus, the human herpes virus 6. Remember I said there are 8 of them. This is one. This is number 6. Or even the Epstein-Barr virus. So just something to think about. You have all these unexplainable illnesses for the most part, more and more people are entertaining the possibility that infections might play a role. And some of the other explanations, they say it could be immunologic. You know, something went wrong with your immune system. Well, your immune system is in charge of controlling infections, so maybe that's related. Maybe it's a genetic problem. Your chance of developing multiple sclerosis is slightly higher if a close relative has the disease. And then you have the environmental connection. It's located at a higher incidence in countries farthest from the equator. And this correlation causes some to believe that vitamin D may play a role. And of course, vitamin D strengthens the immune system so that you can control infections. So if you're low in vitamin D, you may be more prone to infection. So I think there's a lot of strong evidence that infections play a role. So that's, so here again, Epstein-Barr is associated with a very high incidence of Epstein-Barr virus among people. And it's associated with other autoimmune diseases like dermatomyositis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's syndrome, in addition to multiple sclerosis. And another interesting fact, some 200,000 cancer cases each year are thought to be attributable to Epstein-Barr virus. So then, you know, that raises the question again. Should you look for it? You know, if Epstein-Barr virus in most cases is asymptomatic until it becomes symptomatic, should you treat asymptomatic illness if you had a treatment that was effective? Some of the other diseases associated with Epstein-Barr include infectious mono, Burkitt's lymphoma, Hodgkin's lymphoma, gastric cancer, nasopharyngeal cancer, and some serious rashes, erythema multiform, and other precancerous conditions. Also, Parkinson's disease and dementia have been associated with Epstein-Barr. So I thought it's really interesting how prevalent these infections can be, and very little attention is being directed at them because they don't have a treatment. A good treatment against viruses, except to try and strengthen your immune system. So, you know, what we're saying is there are treatments that have been suppressed by mainstream medicine that show very good effects against viruses. So, and that's what we'll be talking about. So, you know, as we look into infectious diseases more and more, we begin to realize just how much of a real problem they are, particularly when they are associated with no symptoms, because then nobody is looking for them, or they don't appreciate it. So, you know, maybe we have to expand our thinking. If someone has a sugar problem, maybe there's an infectious component. If someone has high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, almost any complaint a patient comes up with, and you've got to be very sensitive to the complaints. It may be something as simple as just feeling tired. Might be one of the triggers to look for infectious diseases and then do something about it. So we have that seminar coming up July 16th, starting at 10 o'clock at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. Jana and myself will be there, and we'll be going over ways that you can fortify yourself against infection, but if that's not enough, ways you can treat it with no side effects, because we pointed out the tremendous side effects using antibiotics, to the point that they should really be reserved for life-threatening conditions for the most part, because they cause so many side effects when used for minor conditions. So so that's July 16th, starting at 10 o'clock, and we'll go over the different things and make you aware of how you can protect yourself. I would recommend anybody that has any health challenge, I'm not talking about asymptomatic people, I'm talking about, you know, people with symptoms of any type. It could be arthritis, fatigue, insomnia, headaches, and when you think about it, I've just digestive problems, I've just included about everybody should be checked for an infectious disease, see if they have it, and then take steps to try and strengthen the immune system and eradicate the infectious disease. So just in summary of today's show, I just started off saying how this woman who had cancer cured herself by drinking carrot juice, and turns out carrot juice has falcarinol, is a natural antifungal found in carrots, and maybe there is a connection with fungus and cancer. So things that you have to consider and things that you have to research on your own, because mainstream medicine is just into chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery when it comes to cancer. And perhaps, nobody would suggest taking chemotherapy as a preventive, but you could use carrot juice as a preventive, for example. So I just wanted to bring those points and reiterate those points. So so I think we've just run out of time. And there's our music. I was right. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, joined me today, and we'll be back tomorrow at 10. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.